Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of Real Tech Guy Radio. I am Jonathan Rivera, the Real Tech Guy, and as always, I'm your host, your moderator, your buddy. Welcome to episode number 75. We're 3/4 of the way to 100, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for listening to this show, and I've got a special treat for you today. I've got one of my favorite people. One of my favorite people who's actually quite important when it comes to social media marketing. I mean, when Facebook is rolling out new changes, they go, hey, Mari, check this out. What do you think about it? And I'm talking about the one, the only, Mari Smith, relationship marketer extraordinaire. She's been my mentor on Facebook since the beginning. And some of you may not know this, but Mari was actually the inspiration for me creating the Real Estate Referral Group. She taught me how to create a Facebook page before Facebook pages were cool. So you know she's got a lot to share. And this interview is going to be jam-packed, and I got a disclaimer right now. The shows have been short. I know the shows have been short. I've been trying to keep them under 30 minutes, even ideally under 20 minutes. But this week, we're probably going to go up to about 35 minutes, maybe even 40. And let me tell you what we've got in store for you today. We're going to talk about online and offline marketing, mistakes businesses make, Google+, which platforms to use. We're even going to talk a little bit about email marketing on today's show. So it's jam-packed with information. So get your pens, get your paper ready, because this is going to be one of the best shows this year. Oh, yeah, because Mari is a wealth of information and she is not afraid to share. And before we get into this, I just want to say one thing, okay? One thing before we jump in is Mari's got a new book coming out. The New Relationship Marketing is the name of the book. It comes out October 25th, and I want you to win a copy of this book. Mari and I are going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff, so there's no doubt that you're going to learn one or two things. So here's what you have to do. All you got to do is take your best takeaway, whatever your best takeaway is, go over to Twitter and share it with us. Just use the hashtag RTGRadio. Whatever your best takeaway is, go over to Twitter, type in blah, 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 my best takeaway, blah, 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 hashtag RTG Radio. And I'm going to choose a winner out of the best tweets. I'm going to choose a winner and announce you next week. Okay, so this is a chance for you to get a new book. This is going to be an education, I promise you that. And this is going to be a great show. So without further ado, Miss Mari Smith. All right, so we have the fabulous Mari Smith on the line. Mari, are you out there?
I am out here.
Or maybe you're in here in the inner circle with us. You know, I am so happy because I really didn't know if I could get you on the show, and I think that a lot of people still need to know who you are. So thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us today.
My pleasure. It's a delight, Jonathan. I'm a big raving fan, and you know, it's we're going to talk a bit about relationships today, and I just love the fact that you and I have met in person, IRL as we call it.
Yeah, us geeks, right? So, Mari, like for me, you have been probably the biggest influence in the social space. I mean, you actually have been there from the beginning. You were the Pied Piper of Facebook. And now you're just I don't even want to use the term guru, but you really are like the epitome of social media and why it works. What exactly is your title? I know you're an author. I know you're a trainer. What does Mari Smith call herself? What is her job?
I call myself a relationship marketing specialist, and that's what I have done for about the last 10 years. And it evolves a little bit. Often in my bios, my email signature, I'll call myself a passionate social media leader with a specialty focusing on relationship marketing and Facebook mastery. And I tend to steer away from the word expert. I don't particularly like saying I'm a social media expert, Facebook expert. I say I have much expertise, but the only reason is I think the word expert has been really diluted over the years, specifically because of social media, because, you know, people figured out how to put up a Twitter account and call themselves a social media expert. No disrespect. It was just easy entry. There's a lot of opportunists out there. But so one of the things that I've always done is I've kept an eye and kept my finger in the pulse of, okay, what is the current buzzword that's you know, everybody's using? Whatever that is, I'll stop using it and I'll create a whole other one that's different and unique for me.
Yeah, I love that right there, because you're right. The expert thing has been used, abused, and now it's meaningless. So I can appreciate that. So, I mean, this journey, I started on Facebook probably a little like three and a half years ago, and you were already known as a major player in Facebook. I mean, how did you get to where you are today? What was the road that you took to be this big force in space?
You know, it's funny, Jonathan, I joke about being an overnight success, 10 years in the making, and there's a great definition of luck, and that is when preparation meets opportunity. And so, you know, I say tongue-in-cheek about the 10 years, but really, since the early 2000s, I have been very immersed and successful in different arenas of internet marketing, public speaking, success coaching. I worked with T. Harv Eker, the Millionaire Mind Guy, for many years, as, you know, coaching with his company and information products, did a lot of internet marketing consulting. And so these layers upon layers upon layers are building. And then in 2007, in May, a mutual friend introduced me to someone who was creating a Facebook app. In fact, he'd already had the app. It's a place called PodClass, where you can take and teach online classes. And he had just been accepted as Facebook app. I think the API had not long been open. And he was ecstatic. And so I got introduced to him. And I could feel his excitement. I thought, well, this must be really big. And I'd heard about Facebook a couple times. I'd never been to the site. I had a couple people invited me to the site. But you know something? I was on LinkedIn, Rise Academy, what else is there? MySpace, Plaxo, you name it. All of these sites at Friendster. And I was like, I don't really get it. You know, I'm a natural people person. I have a wide network already. I was doing, you know, I had a significant email list you know, I was very active socially in person. So I'm like, okay, well, this is yet another social network. Let me try it out. And I go to Facebook.com and because I agreed to be a beta tester for my friend's Facebook app. And it was like time stood still. It was like a defining moment. I've only had a couple of them in my life, and that was one of them. I could just feel the vibration of the site, of the company, too, coming out of my computer screen. The white space, the blue, the ease with which it was to navigate the site. Of course, it's gotten a little more difficult over the years, but basically it was very uniform. Unlike MySpace, there was just a lot of noise, and it was, you know, you'd have all this video and audio coming blasting through the screen at you, but it was very calm, and it was very easy to reach out to anybody, any influencer. I'd look at my bookshelf and I'm like, oh, I think I'll just contact, you know, Jack Canfield today. Oh, look at that. He responded to me. And I think it's changed days a little bit now. 4.5 years later, a lot of people don't necessarily manage their own social presence. But initially, it just stunned me of how easy it was to connect with these people, make friends with them, interview them, reach out to them. I think to a large degree that's still the case, but also, you know, some people have people in there managing it. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with it. And so for 3 weeks, I was just, the first 3 weeks I remember were very defining, because I was madly in love with it. I became an absolute evangelist. Everybody I met in person and online, I'm like, have you seen this Facebook? You got to get on. I just brought people in droves. That's why they called me the Pied Piper. I just brought droves and droves of people to Facebook and showed them how to use it. And back then, we didn't even have fan pages. This was just, you know, get them hooked up on the profile and to start to use the profile strategically to begin networking and create some visibility.
That was it. So you helped create some of that momentum, huh?
I think I might have, yeah. I probably had something to do with it. One small piece.
yeah, you did your part. So you mentioned that you were all over all these networks. You mentioned like half a dozen networks. Now, even nowadays, I know you're pretty active on a bunch of networks. How do you find the time to do this all?
You know what? It's a daily work in progress. I wish I could say I was much more systematic. I have many, many systems that I've designed over the years and that I use in my own trainings. I teach my own clients and students, and then often I don't take my own medicine. But what I mean by that is I tend to be a very much, how can I say this? Like, I go through the day feeling time. There's great bodies of work out there that talk about this, people that think time versus feel time. So I intuitively do a lot. Interspersed throughout the day, I will check my iPhone regularly in between different breaks. I can get a lot done in just a few minutes here, there, and everywhere. So the intensity has definitely increased since Google Plus came on the scene. I'm an early adopter and I love technology, and I joined Google Plus on June 28, 29, just, you know, just when it started to come out with the invites. And I had a similar, I won't say exact same, but it was a similar experience to back in May of 07 when I just fell madly in love with Facebook Facebook, because I'm like, oh my gosh, something huge is happening here. Finally, Google has cracked social. Finally, what a beautiful interface. I love these circles. Oh my gosh, Michael Dell, president, founder, CEO of Dell Computers. And here he's hanging out at the click of a button. I can be on a video conference call with Michael Dell. Where else could you do that? And I thought, oh, this is huge. So I literally made time. So let's say on average I spend 2 hours a day on my social media. I took that same 2 hours a day and I had to spread myself a little thinner. So I'm still active on my fan page and my profile on Facebook and on Twitter, and I added Google Plus in. Whereas some of my peers in the industry, like Chris Brogan, for example, and he was always first to admit he wasn't that crazy about Facebook. And so when Google Plus came along, he just basically put a sign up and says, look, I'm done with Facebook. You want to connect with me? Come on over to Google Plus. And that was fine. And that's, you know, that's a personal choice. But for me, I've just done my best to stretch my time a little bit. And it's a daily work in progress, like I say. And I try to just do, if I can do a minimum of one post a day on Facebook and Google Plus, and then I schedule several posts a day for Twitter, then at least, I was recently away at a 3-day conference, for example, at least I know I've got the bare minimum up. So you're not going to see a real kind of sporadic and staccato approach to my social media. It will always be consistent. And some days it's more, some days it's less, but at least there'll always be something on all the major networks, if that makes sense.
Wow. No, I'm kind of surprised that you just told me that about Google Plus, because I set up my account because, you know, I was invited and it was a cool thing to do, and I haven't been back. So you really feel like that's a huge deal right now, huh?
Well, it is, and I'm doing my best to maintain my presence over there. And I was stunned at the speed with which it grew. So here I'm just checking, I got over 20,000 followers.
Holy cow.
And I've already been nominated by the users as one of the top 30 people to follow. And there's something like over, I don't know, the last stats are like 30 million. So And because, and that's as a result of sharing quality posts, minimum one a day. And, you know, some days, maybe at a weekend, I might not get around to putting up a post on a Sunday or a Saturday, but that's okay. But the beauty of what Google Plus allows you is, I see it really like as a combination of the best of Twitter, the best of Facebook, and blogging. And yet the other sites still have their place. They really do. I mean, the beauty of Twitter is its brevity. I hope they never increase the 140 characters, because I love that about that site. You know, the beauty of Facebook is the social graph and some of the really cool features that they have, and the sheer volume. But with Google Plus, when you go to publish something, you can really free flow. I find myself to be much more verbose in a good way. I mean, it's much more comprehensive in the post that I'm sharing, and I will share a link, but I'll have some significant thoughts. So it's really like mini blogging Twitter's micro blogging, blogging, regular blogging, somewhere in between, MIDI blogging. And you can put formatting, you can bold and italics, and you really draw attention to some different things. And I just found that people are engaging more. They're more thoughtful comments on Google Plus.
And I'm hearing that from a lot of the industry pundits, you know, people like Leo Laporte and folks like that are saying that the level of engagement in Google Plus is off the charts. So I guess I might have to You're making me have to pay attention, aren't you?
Well, again, no, but it is a choice. It's a choice. And really, if you look at like bare minimum, if you could just take a couple minutes a day, bare minimum, to just pop a post up there. And it's okay to put the same content there as you're using on Twitter and or Facebook. I recommend just, you know, selecting a different time of day so you're not like, you know, exactly at 8 a.m. every day. You've got the same post going everywhere. The neat thing, too, is you can tag people. And it's a great way to tag anybody, whether you're friends with them or not, similar to how you can tag fan pages on Facebook. And you know, not just doing one-way pushing and broadcasting, but looking to see who's active, and you can create a circle of some key influencers, and periodically, just like you would with a blog, periodically, you know, add some comments, read what they're saying and add some thoughtful comments. And you'll find that you'll get tremendous visibility. People will start following you by what you're commenting on other people's content.
Well, that's always been the case, is just adding value to the conversation. Now, You're on all these networks. Are you using any particular tools? Like, I like Hootsuite personally. What are you using?
Major fan of Hootsuite. Use it every single day. It's constantly open in my browser tab. And predominantly for Twitter. I use it 99% for Twitter, 1% for Facebook. And because Facebook does tend to penalize a little bit, not, I wouldn't say penalize, not even the right word. They give like less weight, slightly less weight to posts made through third-party apps. Funnily enough, I was just posting earlier about the fact that Facebook has this secret whitelist. It's just kind of come to the light recently that they have this secret whitelist of their trusted partners. So there's certain partners that they don't collapse their posts in the newsfeed. They give them a little bit better visibility in the newsfeed. But the best approach that I found is that use Hootsuite to schedule maybe one early morning post on your Facebook fan page, and then throughout the day, do one or two more. I'm at like 50,000 fans, and 1 to 3 posts a day maximum is plenty. Now, I happen to have a culture that's very active and very much about giving and getting support, specifically around Facebook marketing, and there's a lot of other things on there too, but it's mostly Facebook marketing. So there's always a lot of activity going on my page, even if I don't post anything on there. But I have found, you know, that 3 a day is the max. If I post any more than 3 a day, people will my unlike and unsubscribe rate will go up. So it's really important to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I've been a victim of that myself, so I know exactly what you mean. So, all right, so you've got a huge network everywhere you go, and I can't even believe that you're crushing it over there at Google. I got to go check you out. But how do you build a loyal network? Because I've been a fan of yours for years, singing your praises. How do you get us to do this, Mari?
Oh, well, thank you. I over the last 3 years, I have done a tremendous amount of inner work, personal growth, emotional and spiritual development, have a wonderful spiritual teacher, and whatever people's different faiths or spiritual beliefs are, that's fine. But I think that I'm a major believer in as within, so without. So if you have a profound relationship with yourself, not from an ego standpoint, ego won't get you that far. It serves a purpose. But you need to be able to come from a place of genuine care, compassion, having empathy, having a deep love and respect for others, for all of humanity, really. And if you see some negativity or people are acting out or even trolls, I mean, I even have compassion for this troll guy that's been stalking me for several years online. He comes and goes. Fortunately, he's gone right now. But even, you know, I know that he's whatever, there's something that's not right in his life. And But I do think that it's, some of my mentors call it a ground of being, the place from which you come. My spiritual teacher talks about or recommends that anytime you post anything online, you ask yourself, what is my deepest intent? So if your deepest intent, if you suddenly get this intuitive answer and you're like, well, you know, I'm trying to one up this person, you know, I'm trying to make myself look smarter here, I'm trying to get more followers, or I'm trying anything, any answer to that question that's ego based, it's not going to get you very far. It really isn't. So if your deepest intent is to serve, if that's always to serve, to add value, to be kind, to help people, and to really be a trusted, reliable, go-to source for a specific type of quality content, what happens is, like, if you just refuse to put your name to anything, including even clicking that like button, click that plus one button, anytime you do that, you're essentially endorsing whatever it is that you're, you know, clicking the button on. So just do not ever put your name to anything that isn't of the utmost quality and you know, good value, and it will help people. I know other people have a mantra where they don't tweet anything or share anything that they haven't personally gained value from. So I think that's just a wonderful mantra by which to live.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Actually, that's why there's so many people that look to you for the information, myself included, and that must be why, because you're always putting that high value content out there, whether it's yours or someone else's. It's always high value, and we obviously appreciate that. So that answers that question, doesn't it?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, and the other thing, too, we were talking about time earlier. See, everybody is busy. I don't know anybody who's, like, sitting around twiddling their thumbs looking for something to do all day, every day. Everybody is busy. And so if you can pick an industry like you have done, Jonathan, you know, you have a very active Facebook community. And just last night, it was at an event, or two nights ago, it was in Orange County speaking at an event. And this woman came up to me, and she's a real estate professional. And she asked me, you know, what tips could you give me? She wanted something short and sharp and quick that she could easily implement. What tips would you give me as a realtor just starting out? First thing I said to her, I said, you go and check the real estate referral group out. It's my friend Jonathan Rivera's group. It's, I don't know what you're at, over 50,000 members, I think. And she's like, her eyes started popping, and she's like, wait a minute, this is a referral group? You mean like people share their leads? And yeah, I said, yeah, you want to go and network with your peers and look at the success that Jonathan's created. And she went to check your Facebook group out. And so the point I'm making about the time and the quality is that when you can save people time because you've done the legwork and the homework for them, and that word of mouth has never been more powerful in this day and age, you know, and we've got these tools, these internet and social network tools, that we can share this content content to a wide audience, and really that they know that we've done the homework for them. That just saves them time and effort.
You're such a sweetheart. You made my day.
Well, thank you.
So here's something that's interesting. You talk a lot about blending online with offline. And like you said in the beginning, you and I met. And when I met you, I didn't know what to expect. But you were exactly what I wanted you to be, and maybe even more. I mean, how does this all work? Because I'm a firm believer now that you can't have online without offline. I mean, for most businesses.
I totally agree. And that's a big part of what I talk about in my book, because relationship marketing, to me, it transcends the medium. It's about people. And then my motto for years has been people first, our relationships first, and business second. Because if you just focus on building and nurturing that relationship and really caring and not having an attachment, Dr. Wayne Dyer has this wonderful, in one of his books, this wonderful saying that if you have a mind that's open to everything and attached to nothing, so that you just have that open mind, but you don't get real hung up on having to force results. So having the ability to, you know, put the face to the name, as you say, and having that consistent and congruent personality or persona, that to me is really one of the greatest compliments that people can pay me, is when they do meet me in person, they're like, oh my gosh, you're exactly like I thought you would. You even tweet in your accent. One of my friends even said, because I often put he, I put like, and I was speaking at one of his events, and I happened to say a couple times he, like I was giggling like that. And he's like, oh my God, he's like, you even say he in real life. It was cute. But I think some of the things are to always keep your picture, you know, your avatar, your headshot, keep it very current. The longest I let mine go is about 18 months. because and I think that that's a big incongruence of people. You'll see this happens all the time. People lose weight or gain weight. They change their hair color. They lose their hair. They do something, I don't know, Botox, surgery, you name it, whatever people are doing with their face or their look or their image. It does have to match because we have such a deep and profound relationship with that avatar. And you meet the person, it's like you want to press the play button and suddenly they pop out the screen and they become live. And you have this image in your mind you've built up over the, in some cases, might be over years or might be just over months. And you've built up what I call virtual rapport. So you already have the rapport down, but there will be a break in rapport the moment someone meets you and you're nothing like your avatar, or that you're this really outgoing and gregarious and chatty person online and you're the complete shy wallflower that can barely say two words in person. And I totally don't mean that disrespectfully, because I realize that some people are more naturally introverted and do have are more challenged to be social in person. It can be quite daunting to be in a room full of people and make small talk. Whereas when they're in front of their computers, they have the safety and the luxury, if you will, of being able to think things through before hitting that send button.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to do?
No, us extroverts, us raging extroverts. I often don't know what I'm thinking until I hear myself speaking it.
Right. So you mentioned that pictures is one, and I agree with you, because it is. When I go somewhere and I meet someone and they don't look like their picture, I'm like, well, what happened to you? What's going on here? So what are some other mistakes that businesses make on these networks?
Well, some of them would be, you were just talking about different tools and third-party platforms. So one of them is over-automation. So you'll see this happen a lot. And it's funny because I meet different people from all different walks of life, from celebrities to, you know, different public figures to just busy CEOs. And they don't have any desire or interest in getting involved personally with social media. And they'll say, no, Mari, who do you know? Just want somebody to just do it for me. And so they tend to over-automate. And I've had an experience before where, you know, I've had a great, great relationship. Talk about building up virtual rapport. And a certain person, obviously shall be nameless, wonderful person. And we were connecting, talking at a really high level event. And I said to him, you know, I just really love your tweets. You're just so personable. I really enjoy the way that you're using Twitter. And because we've had many conversations, and he just looked me in the eye and he's like kind of squirmed a bit. And he's like, oh God, Mari, I hate to tell you. He says, I don't even know how to log into Twitter. That's a girl in my office. And I was like, oh, I had to try to keep a straight face, but I got to tell you, my stomach kind of somersaulted and I'm like, okay. And, you know, hats off to them. That's fine if that's what they want to do, but it just didn't sit right with me. And I do think that is a mistake that business owners make, is not being upfront and saying, you know, delegating, having a ghost tweeter, ghost writer. And I mean, this person clearly didn't need to tell me that. I would have been none the wiser, but the fact that he did really troubled me. And it really made me realize too, there's probably an awful lot of people like him that, they just find that they haven't really been sold. And I think the problem lies that they have not been sold on the importance of personal engagement. And I mean, Guy Kawasaki is a perfect example, in my opinion, of how to do social media right. I mean, he's absolutely like an avalanche. What does he call it? A fire hose. I mean, he does have a lot of support with people helping him to find content and broadcast content. But the engagement part, Guy is always one. He is personally the one, and he does a lot of replying to people, and he's very personable. And I know it's him for sure. So, it's not that difficult to be personally involved.
No kidding. It's almost embarrassing. You feel like you've been taken for a fool when you run into a situation like that.
Yeah.
I could imagine. So, okay. So, you know, for businesses right now, I mean, there's so much out there. I mean, we've talked about all these networks. Where do you think they should focus? I mean, what are the networks that maybe they should concentrate on?
Okay, so it's interesting because now we have another major player, in the ring with Google+. I'm saying major. We don't have business pages yet, but there's a lot that businesses can do to be figuring out, okay, what's going on with Google+. Learn the platform, get familiar with the culture, so that when business pages do come out on Google+, they can really, take it and run with it. And just recently, Google Plus opened up their API. So now you're going to have all kinds of apps, which is fantastic. You're going to like Hootsuite and all of these, you know, third party. You're going to be able to schedule updates to Google Plus and everything. So it's very, very exciting. But as in terms of focusing with platforms, I like to encourage business owners and, you know, companies and individuals to look for an overlap of two particular aspects. One is the platforms that you really enjoy. You can tell I'm very excited and passionate about Facebook, always have been. It'll be my first love. Love Twitter too. I mean, on Twitter just as long, and I really enjoy it in terms of, you know, what it does. And the same with Google Plus. So you want to find the platforms that you personally really enjoy. And then the overlap with the second piece is, where is your target market? Where are your peeps? If you absolutely love, love, love Twitter, but your vast majority of your demographic, your target market, hangs out in LinkedIn, you're going to need to get a, you know, have an optimized presence on LinkedIn and get over there periodically to use the site. Now, I have an active and optimized profile on LinkedIn. Most of my peeps are on Facebook and or Twitter and or Google Plus. I probably am missing out on some potential business in LinkedIn by not being active there, but I'm okay with that because I've got enough going on these other platforms. So pick the, I would probably say now you more than likely need to have two. It's not enough to just have a, you know, major presence on Facebook. You probably also want to have, you know, an optimized Twitter account. Anyway, so I think that, in addition to these social sites, we've got to remember that these are all channels, or these are all vehicles through which we market our business, build the visibility, build the platform. But ultimately, they've all got to come back to your own hub, which would be ideally your own website, your own blog. So, you know, producing great content on your blog.
That leads me to the next point, because you mentioned right at the beginning of this interview that before you got into Facebook, you had already built a substantial, was your word, substantial email list. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I keep hearing people saying email is dead. What do you say to that?
Oh, I think it's rubbish. I think they're reading the wrong reports and wrong stats or whatever they're reading. I think there's a different way that we use email. I think maybe open rates and click-through rates have gone down, but you know why? If that's the case, because people have not changed their approach to email marketing. They're trying to use the same old techniques, and it's boring. Mostly, click-throughs and opens have gone down because your emails are boring. Nobody wants to read them, and or they're not personal, or they're too long, or they're too pitchy, or too salesy. So, given that the last 4 years we've experienced a fundamental paradigm shift in the way that we communicate on the planet. It's social, it's warm, it's personable, it's real, it's authentic, it's transparent. We use all these words, but you have to embody them. You can't just say them. You know, I see people do this a lot, and it's just they'll use certain buzzwords, but you can just feel back to that earlier when we were talking about that ground of being, that place from which you come. So, for example, like spirituality or consciousness, you know, are buzzwords in the business world, starting to become buzzwords in the business world. So you'll see savvy marketers, and they'll start coming along and they'll start talking and using those words in their email marketing as a means to, you know, try to be different and get more people to open. But there has to be a congruency there. There has to be congruency. So the way to actually integrate email marketing, I like to do, I like to use the merge codes for the first name several times throughout the body of the email, maybe the beginning, middle, throughout, just like as if I'm having a conversation. And one of the greatest compliments that I can receive regarding my emails is when people write to me and they believe, they think, that perceive that I'm only writing to them. That is the beauty of email. See, all these other platforms, we're talking to people, it's like one to many. Okay, so whether if I'm tweeting, unless I'm at replies is different. At replies, but I'm it's one to one in public. Facebook, one to one in public, or one to many. Email is always one to one. Doesn't matter what size your email list is, it's always one to one. So you're having this one-on-one conversation with every subscriber. and making it real personable. And so, you know, for instance, recently I was right in the midst of a big promotion for an upcoming Facebook summit. And, you know, there's a deadline my languaging was getting a little like, you know, making sure people were making the decision. And one person wrote me and he's like, you know, I already got my ticket 3 weeks ago. How come your system doesn't know that? And I'm like, oh, good point. Okay, so first of all, this was a partner's program, Mike Stelzner's program that I was promoting. So I don't necessarily have a cross list, okay? So I'm not marking my list off and suppressing the people that bought a ticket. So my last email that I sent, I just put right up front, if you already got your ticket, you know, this is a last minute reminder for the half price sale. If you already got your ticket, tweet me. I didn't say tweet. I gave him an example of what to say. You know, tweet me at Mari Smith. I got my ticket for Facebook Success, and I'll see you there. I sent the email. I couldn't believe the flood of tweets. It was awesome.
Wow, that's some social proof right there. That's amazing. So, email marketing is not dead. You guys heard it from Mari Smith, not just me, not just everybody else that's on the program. But I like to drive that point home because I know that. I consider you an internet marketer, really, because you're doing all this to generate business. I mean, it is fun, but it is business. Now, let's talk some business right now. On October 25th, you've got your new book coming out, The New Relationship Marketing. What can we expect in that book, Mari?
Well, a lot of what we've been talking about in this interview, and in fact, the whole book is a nine-step program to help people, as my subtitle says, to build a large, loyal, and profitable network using the social web. Now, I say using the social web, really that web is online and offline. So a lot of personal experiences and tips and tactics as well as strategy on how to build yourself a sizable platform, be a go-to expert, be an authority, be a center of influence in your chosen area of expertise, and really to use these social tools in a way that helps to make the world a better place. And a lot of the new skills, I talk about really a blend of where there's a two significant sets of skills that we all need to be successful using the, you know, the social web, if you will, relationship marketing. One is the hard skills of where, you know, we've talked about some different tools. Okay, you're familiar with Hootsuite, you know, the platforms, you know what button to press, you got all the technical skills. The second set of skills, which is equal, if not more important, is the soft skills. It's the people skills. It's the empathy, compassion, kindness, giving with no agenda, you know, adding value. A lot of these things is just, you know, leading with emotional intelligence, not taking things personally, not reacting because somebody's, you know, said something negative about you, and being able to have compassion. So, and empathy is really being able to read between the lines, listening to what's not being said. Twitter is great for that because, you know, and how can you really, really tell what's going on in 140 characters? You could take something out of context and make assumptions and misconstrue something. So really, just training yourself to be more mindful about how people are behaving out there and really responding in a way that that has them feel more drawn towards you, more likely to want to do business with you because you're understanding them. I think the bottom line is this, you know, Jonathan, and Oprah talks about this a lot. She was just on Facebook the other week doing a live stream, that fundamentally we're all so alike. And I think that social media in particular, social networking, meets this need of us wanting to know that we matter, that we make a difference, we're not alone, that we are all one, we are connected, we can use these social tools to reach out and connect with anyone in the world and let them know that they matter, that they make a difference. So
that's beautiful. And I mean, it's some, like you said, I think it's almost silly, but I've grown as a person because of social media, because of having to deal with those things. Like, I had to learn the whole empathy thing. I didn't even know what that was back in the day. So I'm glad to hear that. And a lot of this stuff is principles that have worked for years. I think that really, couldn't we say that social media has just increased our reach, but this is proven principles that have worked forever and a day?
I 100% agree. And that is one of the reasons I'm so excited about my book, is because for many years now, and I have a book out, came out May of 2010. We're working on version two right now, Chris Treadaway and I, on the Facebook marketing an hour a day. So that is very technical book. I, you know, did as much as I could to put some personal touches in there, but it's really a technical book, a how-to book about a platform that moves and changes on a regular basis. And so it's hard to make it evergreen. We have to bring out a version two. Whereas with my body of work on relationship marketing, there are some timeless principles in there, timeless principles, you know. And fundamentally, human beings have not really changed a whole lot, probably in the last, you know, several hundred years. What's changed is the technology, and that's impacted how we communicate and how we do business.
Yeah, and made it much easier to connect. So the new relationship marketing comes out on October 25th. Now, if folks are looking for you online, it's facebook.com/Mari Smith, right? That's your page?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on Twitter, you're just plain old Mari Smith, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Tell me you didn't learn a thing or two on that show. I mean, packed with information. And I just want to let you know one more thing. Of course, you can win a copy of Mari's book by sharing your best takeaway using hashtag RTGRadio on Twitter. But listen, all you have to really do is go over to gethernewbook.info. When you go over to gethernewbook.info, it'll take you straight over to Amazon and you can buy a copy. I mean, look at all the stuff that she shared on this little show that we did, so you can imagine what she's got packed in that book. So if you want a copy of Mari's new book before I announce the winner next week, you can go over to gethernewbook.info to grab it. I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been Real Tech Guy Radio number 75. You guys just keep on rocking just because you can.